The schedule for the rest of the conference, 8 o'clock this evening, 8 o'clock on Friday evening. Immediately after the Bible class on Friday night, there will be a military communion rehearsal. There are two sessions on Saturday morning. The first is at 10:30. Coffee break between. 7 o'clock on Saturday night, we have a military communion and a Bible class, and then the usual two on Sunday. This will perhaps save 100,000 telephone calls. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this morning to Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. Repeat, Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. We are still, of course, studying Revelation 9:1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. It is our custom to spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin the study of the Word of God. You have a few moments of privacy, the option of rebound, the opportunity of shifting gears into strict academic discipline, which means no talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would be disturbing or distracting to those who are serious students of the Word of God. Let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray now that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We learn from the elect angels a great deal about worship. We are now learning from the fallen angels a great deal about arrogance. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, a passage we have already studied in detail, the corrected translation sounds like this. When the angelic heralds, that is the living creatures, the angelic heralds were the ones who, through very faithfulness to the Word of God in the prehistoric angelic conflict, learned more doctrine than any other group of creatures in history. And as a result, they were promoted to a new rank, which apparently did not exist at the beginning of angelic creation. They were promoted to seraph rank in the College of Heralds, and therefore more than anyone else, because of their perception of doctrine, they know more about worship, they have a greater understanding and appreciation of worship than anyone else. We learn from them a great deal about worship. And when the angelic herald shall give glory, this is the beginning of the expression of their worship. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. When these angelic heralds gave glory, it is because they possessed glory. Just as in the future, many of you who have been faithful in the perception of doctrine, who have grown in grace, who have attained maturity, who have fulfilled the plan of God for your life, are going to receive glory at the judgment seat of Christ. We have studied this under the order of the morning star, the new knighthood, and the escutcheon, the many blessings, the crowns that belong to mature believers in eternity. These members of the College of Heralds, these angelic heralds, have already received their glory. Therefore, they can give and worship what they possess. They shall give glory, category one worship, limited, of course, to the eternal state or resurrection body, and honor, category 2 worship. Only honorable believers, for example, in time, can give honor to the Lord in worship. The highest thing we can give to God in worship is honor, but you have to have honor to give honor in worship. and thanksgiving, which is Category 3 worship. Cosmic believers, of course, are arrogant, have no capacity for thanksgiving, and therefore capacity for gratitude must precede the expression of thanksgiving in worship. You cannot give thanksgiving unless you possess the necessary ingredients to do so. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. And to have gratitude demands residence and function in the divine dynasphere, the filling of the Spirit, honor and integrity, humility, everything that it takes to have capacity for thanksgiving. Next, we notice in verse 10 that we switch from the angelic college of heralds to the angelic order of battle. Second in the angelic order of battle are the 24 staff officers who will fall down before him who sits on the throne. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And they, the angelic general staff, will worship him who lives forever and ever. You cannot give in worship what you do not have. They also possess glory, honor, and gratitude. And therefore they give in worship the same as the angelic heralds, glory, honor, and thanksgiving. And they, the 24 angelic staff officers, will lay down their crowns before the throne. In other words, they have crowns, they have decorations, which they earned in the prehistoric angelic conflict. Not only have they earned these, but they give them back to our Lord as the highest expression of thanksgiving in worship. And then they say in verse 11, "You, O Lord, are worthy. You possess the ultimate merit for optimum worship. You are worthy to receive glory." That's Category 1, worship in the eternal state. And honor, Category 2, worship based on residence in the divine dynasphere and maximum perception of Bible doctrine. Also the power, all worship must be conducted inside the divine dynasphere of the power. That is, of course, the filling of the Spirit. Because you, the Lord Jesus Christ, as eternal God, have created all things, that is, both the material universe and all the creatures contained therein. Also because of your sovereign will, purpose, desire, they existed, the existence of creation in the mind of God before it actually occurred. And then they add, and they were created. Category 3, worship, is open to any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ every day of his life throughout the phase 1 of the plan of God, the believer in time. Thanksgiving is the act of rendering thanks or gratitude to God. It is the third category. Hence, it is a mental attitude. It is humility. It is doctrine. It is the filling of the Spirit. It is the function inside of the divine dynasphere. In Ephesians 5:20, we are told, "Be always thankful for all things in the sphere of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father." Thanksgiving begins, therefore, when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and begins to learn Bible doctrine. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for in Christ Jesus this is God's will for you." To give thanks to God for everything, both the blessings of life and the adversities, both prosperity and disaster. To be able to do this in worship, you must have gratitude. You must have humility. You must have the filling of the Spirit. You must have everything contained inside the divine dynasphere. The expression of thanksgiving as worship, of course, again goes back to the principle. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. You cannot have gratitude to express thanksgiving if you are living in the cosmic system, if you are arrogant or vain or petty or vindictive or implacable, are full of self-importance and self-righteousness, or if you are feeling sorry for yourself, or any of the other functions of Gate 1, Cosmic 1. Thanksgiving can only be given in worship if you have gratitude. You cannot give to God in worship what you do not possess. Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Too many times believers get into the cosmic system. We are studying believers in the cosmic system who are about to become the target for the demon assault armies. The first demon assault army of the first half of Revelation 9 is commanded by the second highest ranking demon, next to Satan himself, a cherub like Lucifer, the son of the morning, in the prehistoric angelic times. And yet, this demon general will lead an assault army, which for 5 months in the tribulation will torture many, many believers as well as unbelievers, those who live in the cosmic system. Those who live in the cosmic system, believers, have no capability for worship. For the principle of worship, you cannot give to God in worship what you do not possess. And because of their arrogance, there is no way that they can have gratitude. And if they do not have gratitude, capacity for life, capacity for blessing, capacity for happiness, they are unable to truly express thanksgiving. It is easy to open your mouth and to enunciate the words, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord." But to actually fulfill the principle of worship requires a great deal more than simply the overt expression of those words. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. This morning you have entered into the gates of Baraka Church. You are sitting in this congregation along with many hundreds and even thousands of other people who are listening all over the country at this time on the FX systems. And they have entered into the gates with thanksgiving. But we have to knock out the words thanksgiving. They must be eliminated, for they are not a part of your worship if you are living in the cosmic system. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. This was the court of the temple. Give thanks to Him. Honor His name. There it is. Category 3 worship, give thanks to Him. Category 2 worship, honor His name. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. If you do not have honor and integrity, you cannot give it in worship. If you do not have gratitude, you cannot express thanksgiving. For the Lord, He is good. His grace is everlasting. His faithfulness belongs to all generations. Psalm 116:17 tells us that thanksgiving is a priestly sacrifice. We live in the church age, the dispensation of the royal family of God. And therefore, as our believer priests, we have the privilege of expressing thanksgiving on a daily, even an hourly basis, to our Lord. But you cannot give in worship what you do not possess. Without humility, without gratitude, there is no way that you can express thanksgiving. To Thee shall I offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 107:22. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Amos 4:5. Offer up also a thanksgiving offering from that which is leavened, and proclaim freewill offerings. Make them known, for, saith the Lord, so you express personal love for God. Hebrews 13:15. Through the same one, Jesus Christ, let us be constantly offering up a sacrifice of praise, that is, a fruit of the lips, acknowledging His integrity. You cannot give to God as a believer priest what you do not possess. If you do not have the humility of gate 3 of the divine dynasphere, there is no way that you can enter into thanksgiving on this Thanksgiving Day, a national holiday, or on a daily basis. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Colossians 3:15 tells us, and the blessing and prosperity from our Lord, may it be caused to live in your right lobes, into which you also have been elected to privilege in one body. Therefore, keep on becoming thankful ones. If you are fulfilling God's plan for your life, residence and function in the divine dynasphere, this day is meaningful to you. You have capacity for gratitude. You have personal love for God. You have great integrity from life and residence in the divine dynasphere. And therefore, thanksgiving is a meaningful word. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is being multiplied to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Logistical grace is the basis for the royal family possessing a perfect plan from God. God is perfect. His plan is perfect. He has provided a perfect vehicle for the function of His plan. Before coming in here today, I was talking to our song leader, Dr. Robert Pritchard. Dr. Pritchard is, of course, with NASA and is involved in all of these flights into space. And we were talking about the vehicles and how important it is in reentry and all the problems and the tremendous amount of heat that is generated in reentry into the atmosphere, 2,700 degrees for a starter. And all of the situations that must be handled, and how all of this very, very sophisticated equipment depends, for example, on a little glue. For they glue tiles over certain parts of the spaceship for the very simple reason that that is the greatest protection against heat. And so much depends on that glue. Here is one of the most sophisticated vehicles ever invented by man. And for its proper function and reentry into space, it depends on glue. You and I have a vehicle, a perfect vehicle. It doesn't depend on glue. It depends on our volition. And of course, that perfect vehicle is the divine dynasphere. Gate 1, the filling of the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Gate 2, integrity, basic impersonal love. Gate 3, enforced and genuine humility. The basis for giving thanksgiving in worship. And without that humility, there is no thanksgiving in worship. There is no gratitude in human relationship. Gate 4, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and in doctrine. Gate 4 is perception and application of doctrine. Gate 5, love of God. There is where worship begins. And so in Colossians 3:15, blessing and prosperity from Christ, may it be caused to preside in your right lobes, into which you have been elected to privilege in one body, and keep on becoming thankful ones. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is being multiplied to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving can only abound to the glory of God if you are living in the divine dynasphere. If you are taking in Bible doctrine, if you are growing in grace, if the perception of doctrine has resulted in that great capacity for life and love and happiness. 2 Corinthians 9:10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, that is material blessings, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will then be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now here is the relationship between thanksgiving, prosperity, and the true basis of it, the harvest of your integrity, your honor, inside the divine dynasphere. Personal testimonies from mature believers indicate the same thing. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. If you do not possess gratitude from humility, you cannot express it in Category 3 worship, which is thanksgiving. Daniel 2:23, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom, application of doctrine, and power, the ministry of the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in doctrine. John 11:41, and so they removed the stone. Now Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, at the resuscitation of Lazarus, knew that he was about to bring Lazarus out of the grave, and he possessed that magnificent humility, which is a part of honor and integrity. And from a base of this indwelling humility, total freedom from arrogance in the cosmic system, he offered thanks to God the Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Romans 1:18, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, says Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve, the greatest man who ever lived with regard to Bible doctrine, the greatest human being, the Apostle Paul, had this phenomenal humility, which resulted in capacity for gratitude, which resulted in the expression of worship, thanksgiving. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. Thanksgiving is motivated, of course, by Bible doctrine. Colossians 2:7, having been rooted and constantly edified in him, constantly being stabilized by means of doctrine resident in the soul, in the manner that you have been taught. And what happens when you have all of this doctrine? The final three words of Colossians 2:7, overflowing in thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, for what thanksgiving can we offer to God for you in return for all the happiness with which we rejoice before our God on account of you? A basis for thanksgiving is happiness. Happiness comes from Bible doctrine resident in the soul. Philippians 4:6, stop worrying about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication after thanksgiving, literally, let the things sought be revealed in the presence of God. The capacity for thanksgiving in worship is not there unless you have that doctrine, that humility, that gratitude, that personal love for God, which is the basis for all true worship. Thanksgiving is Category 3 worship. Thank God, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, the again we have blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power belong to our Lord forever. Worship, therefore, is the great issue in thanksgiving. We have already studied Revelation chapter 4. We have learned from two of the highest categories of elect angels. We have learned from the angelic heralds, which are next to the Lord Jesus Christ in the College of Heralds. As angels, they are the highest living creatures. They are seraphs, an award and a decoration which was given them as a result of the angelic conflict. There were no seraphs before Satan fell. Cherub was the highest ranking. Now there are at least seven out of millions and billions of elect angels. There are at least seven and perhaps nine angels who have attained that rank. Therefore, they are able to express maximum thanksgiving in worship. Again, Revelation 4:9. And when the angelic herald shall give glory, these are seraphs. These are angels who have attained in the angelic conflict what the Apostle Paul, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel attained in the human extension of the angelic conflict. And when the angelic herald shall give glory, we as living creatures on this earth cannot give glory to God in worship. That must await the resurrection body, the judgment seat of Christ. And then, if you have fulfilled the plan of God in time, you will receive decorations, you will receive glory, and therefore you will be able to give glory to God in worship. Category 1 worship is only open for those in the eternal state. These angels are in the eternal state, therefore they give glory to God. But we can give the second category of worship. Category 2, of course, is honor. We can give honor to God. Honor, of course, comes from love, and that love is developed inside the divine dynasphere. Again, we as believers are royal family of God. We are commanded by mandate to live in the divine dynasphere. We have two commissions from God to do so. Every believer is a priest. Every believer is an ambassador. The priesthood must function toward God. Ambassadorship toward man and circumstances. The ultimate in the function of our priesthood is the virtue of personal love directed toward God. That is motivational virtue as well as worship. It is also, there is impersonal love directed toward man as the highest virtue in that direction. The personal love directed toward God begins with honor. We can give honor to God. That means love. That means gate 5 of the divine dynasphere. All true love begins with respect. And the Greek word for honor in this passage is timē. T-I-M-E. And it means, first of all, respect. And of course, you must ask yourself the question on this Thanksgiving morning, do you have respect for God? Respect is impossible apart from the perception of Bible doctrine. For you neither know or understand God, nor have any respect for Him or His plan. The second meaning of timē, or honor, is reverence. The concept of personal love for Christ in worship begins with respect, but it continues with reverence. Respect is the worship of the immature believer. Reverence is the worship of the mature believer in the divine dynasphere. Respect and reverence are therefore possible for the believer in time. Respect and reverence are the function of the believer's royal priesthood, his motivational virtue in worship. All motivating virtue must express itself in the function of worship, for all motivating virtue is directed toward God and demands personal love. Timē, therefore, means in the third place honor. It is so translated in Revelation 4:9. To honor God in worship requires virtue, integrity, manufactured inside the divine dynasphere through the daily perception of Bible doctrine. Only honorable believers can glorify the Lord, can give honor to the Lord in worship. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. If you do not have honor, you cannot give honor in worship. And that brings us now to category 3, the giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is the most basic form of priestly worship on the part of the royal family of God. The capacity for this worship is gratitude. Gratitude for the plan of God. Gratitude for the provision of God. Everything is provided on a basis of grace. We do not earn it. We do not deserve it. We do not attain it through any possible system of human merit. It is a gift. The divine dynasphere is a gift. The various categories or gates are gifts. Doctrine is a gift. Everything is provided for us. The logistical grace to be alive, to be healthy enough, to be able enough to hear Bible doctrine, to have a sound mind and therefore volition in the sound mind, to make decisions for doctrine. The capacity for this worship is gratitude for the grace of God, the plan of God, the person of God, the provision of God. Capacity for thanksgiving comes then from perception of doctrine, while gratitude is the expression of that worship toward God. The believer in the cosmic system, we are going to study in chapter 9, the believers of the tribulation living in the cosmic system. They are going to be attacked by the first demon assault army. They are then going to be attacked by the second demon assault army. And many of them who are Jews will then be attacked a third time by the third demon assault army. They will be tortured for 5 months. Many of them will die. They will not die to glorify the Lord. They will die the sin unto death. They will die under divine discipline because they have failed to utilize the plan and provision of God, and therefore they have failed in the realm of humility. Arrogance is the total absence of thanksgiving. Arrogance, therefore, is devoid of gratitude. No matter what is done for the arrogant person, and that means the arrogant believer, either by God or by man, it is never appreciated. The arrogant believer does not appreciate what God has and is doing for him through logistical grace. He has no appreciation for the integrity of God. He doesn't even understand it. All he understands is that he is saved by faith in Christ, and he has not advanced beyond that point. Therefore, believers who are arrogant, who are ungrateful to man, are also ungrateful to God. Arrogance destroys capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, capacity for worship, and therefore capacity for thanksgiving. And all this is a terrible double-edged sword. For the person who is arrogant, who has no gratitude in his soul, he is neither a good lover, a good friend, or a good human being. He is a source of all of his own misery, and he makes those around him miserable as well. He has nothing to give the Lord in worship, and that includes thanksgiving. To mouth out a few phrases, thank you, God, for health. Thank you, God, for this turkey. Thank you that I, the turkey, am still alive, is ludicrous and is blasphemous. It does not in any way represent true thanksgiving. We used to have a custom here at Baraka Church. We used to have people come forward and give their testimony. We used to put a mic down here. And if you wanted something to be thankful for, you would come forward. And pretty soon it became competition. And then it became inordinate ambition. Who could be funnier than someone else in giving a testimony? Who could be cleverer? Who could be more eloquent? And the whole concept of thanksgiving was lost. And I got rid of the whole idea the same way we got rid of the choir. It was no good. It was arrogance. It was inordinate competition. And it wasn't glorifying to the Lord. It was trying to impress people. And I'm not opposed to testimonies, but tragically, to give a good testimony, there must be some capacity of soul. And it goes the other way with arrogance. Arrogance functions under the principle of ritual, then, without reality. And it means, therefore, no thanksgiving. The question arises. The issue is always there. You cannot give in worship what you do not possess. And, of course, that is the great concept. Now, the ingredients of worship, which include thanksgiving, must include personal love for God, humility, subordination to divine authority. God cannot be first in the life and the object of true worship apart from enforced humility. That is, the enforced humility of submission to divine authority as delegated in Bible doctrine. Genuine humility, gate 3 of the divine dynasphere, is teachability. The teachability of the believer resulting in perception of doctrine, inculcation of the Word of God, and love for God resulting in genuine worship. Genuine humility then is not only the basis for all true worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is capacity for love, for life, for happiness, for blessing in human relationship. There cannot be true love in any category apart from genuine humility of the soul. The ingredients of worship then include the filling of the Spirit, gate one, the objectivity of impersonal love, gate two, the enforced and genuine humility of gate three, and then, of course, the perception and application of doctrine in gate four. This results in the worship of God at gate five of the divine dynasphere, which begins with personal love for God, but under momentum from perception of doctrine, results in occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious happiness. Therefore, of course, true worship is fulfilled. In worship, you can only give to God what you have. The angelic staff officers of Revelation 4:10, they gave their crowns before the throne as an expression of their worship. The angelic general staff had these crowns because of their tremendous advance in the prehistoric angelic conflict. In prehistoric angelic history, God provided for these elect angels just as He has provided for us as believers. And through positive volition toward doctrine and the multitudes of good decisions in expressing positive volition towards God's plan in the prehistoric period, they were rewarded and decorated with these golden crowns. And these 24 angelic staff officers subordinated their volition to God in achieving these crowns. They could not give to God in worship what they did not possess. They possessed crowns. They gave those crowns to Him in worship. Worship, therefore, to them was the expression of their love, their reverence, their humility, their capacity, their thanksgiving directed toward God. And in their worship, the 24 angelic staff officers gave what they had. For you cannot give in worship what you do not have. And they had golden crowns. They gave them to God. And that's true of the believer as well. The believer has doctrine in his right lobe. He can express that doctrine in worship. The capacity for worship is based upon the amount of doctrine resident in his soul. If he has love of truth or doctrine, he can express it in worship, giving concentration to Bible teaching. If the believer can apply the doctrine of soteriology and Christology, he can participate in the communion service. On Saturday night, we're going to have our military communion service, bringing together our remembrance with the Lord, plus our appreciation of the freedom we have through military victory. If a person has time, he can take time to assemble in the local church. You cannot give to God what you do not have. It takes time to come to Bible class. If a person has a good mind, the gift of God, he can concentrate under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. But you cannot give to God what you do not have. And if you have destroyed your mind with drugs, you have nothing to give, only to live and die as a vegetable, and a rotten vegetable at that. And don't you ever blame anyone else because you made the decisions to sniff glue. You made the decisions to smoke pot. You made the decisions to take marijuana, cocaine, and whatnot. You cannot give to God what you do not have. And I have seen Christians, born-again believers, turn to vegetables because they made wrong decisions. You make wrong decisions, and you will never enter into the true concept of thanksgiving. If you have money, you can give money, but only as God has prospered. No tithing. Tithing is a system of taxation for Israel when Israel was a client nation to God. The 24 angelic staff officers gave their crowns. They still had, and always would have, the source of that crown, and that's the key to their worship. They love God more than they love their decorations. They therefore gave their crowns to Him. Revelation 4:10, the 24 angelic staff officers will fall down before Him, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, and they will worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they will lay down their crowns before His throne and say, You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, etc. Now, you cannot give to God what you do not have. And everything we have belongs to the Lord. He is the source. And worship must recognize the source. And if you recognize God as the source of your blessing, if you recognize God as the source of your life, both the physical life, which He imputed to you at the moment of birth, and the spiritual life, which He gave to you at the moment of salvation, if you recognize that you are alive today, that everything you have, everything that you will ever be, is because of who and what the Lord is, then you have the basis for true thanksgiving. When we part with what we have in worship, we express the fact that we still have the Lord. And because worship expresses our love for the Lord, we still have and always will have the object of our love. Personal love for God expresses itself in worship, which means giving what we have to Him. Our love, our thinking, our concentration, our time, our energy, our money if we have it, our honor, our total respect, and devotion. If you do not have the filling of the Spirit, if you do not have Bible doctrine in the right lobe, if you do not have virtue, honor, integrity from residence and function in the divine dynasphere, you have nothing to offer God today. All you can do is go home and stuff yourself with turkey and dressing, for that's the only stuffing you have. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, we dedicate the closing moments of our Thanksgiving service to anyone who may be here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life. Right where you sit right now, you can have eternal life by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in Him you might be saved." You can have eternal life right now simply by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross, so over 1900 years ago, had you personally in mind. He received the imputation of your sins. He was judged for your sins. He took your place. He did everything that was necessary for your salvation. The work is finished. That's why He said, while still alive, it is finished. He bore your sins in His own body in the tree. And since salvation is completed, there's nothing you can add to it, nothing you can take from it. And therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is a non-meritorious system of perception. Faith means that you can have eternal life right now. There's no merit in faith. The object of faith has the merit. In the privacy of your soul, your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. Therefore, you have freedom of choice, freedom of decision. Right now, you can form the words inaudibly, in sentences, in your thought, and tell God the Father that you are believing in Christ, and that's the moment of eternal life for you. Father, we're grateful for the privilege and the opportunity of examining the principle of worship and thanksgiving. May we be challenged by it. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.